Our reading is from Proverbs 8, 32 to 36 this morning, and is, "Now then, my children, listen to me. Blessed are those who keep my ways. Listen to my instructions and be wise. Do not disregard it. Blessed are those who listen to me, watching daily at my doors, waiting at my doorway. For those who find me find life and receive favor from the Lord. But those who fail to find me harm themselves. All who hate me love death." We're going to sing shortly.
Our next reading is from Colossians chapter 4 and verses 2 to 6. And in this Bible, it's entitled Further Instructions. Devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful. And pray for us too, that God may open a door for our message, so that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ, for which I am in chains. Pray that I may proclaim it clearly as I should. Be wise in the way you act towards outsiders. Make the most of every opportunity. Let your conversation be always full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone. Amen.
So it's lovely to be sharing, and thank you to Eric and also to Phil for reading to us from God's Word earlier on this morning. And I remember some years ago now, talking with in a small group at a local church, and we got talking about prayer. And Florence was a member of that group. She was someone who had drifted into faith in her late teens, and then a gifted musician. She'd trained as a teacher and moved to a new area where, again, she turned up at her local church for company and ended up marrying a dashing young man who was the son of a leading family in that church. And busy teaching career and family life had meant that things had just trundled along for Florence. And then in their mid-50s, both she and her husband John had had a profound experience of renewal in their faith. It was a revelation to them, and they were entirely different people. Shortly after, though, Florence's health took a knock, and her former hyperactivity was supplanted by an imposed, more restful pace. In addition to her fondness for radio and music, this meant time for reading and a newfound love of prayer. So at this house group, when we were doing a Bible study about prayer, Florence suddenly exclaimed, "Don't you just love it when you can spend a couple of hours in prayer?" Everyone else in the room looked, let's be blunt, a little bit bewildered. And in the silence, John's gracious and gentle voice brought everything back nicely with a little chiding. He says, "Well, actually, dear, for the rest of us, we're usually dashing about, struggling, trying to fit in prayer, just like you used to." And due credit to her, Florence thought for a second and then said, "Well, yes, that's true. Time to pray and read has been a gift of failing health that I had to learn to accept and to value." Now, I won't be surprised or shocked if, like me, you identify more with the rest of that group in that gathering than with Florence, who just longs to pray. And as such, we do well to remember those words of Paul's in the letter to the church in Colossae. Those are great words for us. And he says, devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful. Simple as that. Devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful. He wrote that not to people who were kind of living in monastic seclusion and happily giving all of every day to contemplation, but to people living in a busy town in what we think of as Western Turkey, a multicultural market trading place on a major trade route. So I'm just going to use that verse as the basis of what we're going to say, to look at this morning. Devote yourselves, says Paul. Simple thing, really, but really there. Most Christians find daily prayer hard work and daunting, and I count myself among them. But our Bible readings give us some good, sound clues as to how to help make that discipline happen and for it to become something that provides us with the necessary conduit for a relationship with God and fuel for living. Proverbs was written to help people train in the life of faith and to gain spiritual insight, what it calls wisdom, by living close to God. Early on in Proverbs, there's a key verse, and it says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom." So where we read in Proverbs 8, there's some clues about what to do. We can get into the habit of talking and listening to God, which is what prayer is after all, first by listening, as our song just reminded us, by seeking and allowing God to speak to us. The place to begin listening is, of course, in Bible reading, where we begin to hear about God's character as the speaking God. And I'm always struck when we're together in worship, if there's one time you want to know that God is speaking to us, you can be sure it's when the Bible is written. Sometimes that's hard to understand, but nonetheless, it's the place where God chooses to have that communication with us. Use some appropriate Bible notes. There are all sorts. And talk to your class leader, pastoral visitor, or your minister or other church leaders, and we can help you find the right ones for you. Those notes, taking a few minutes a day, will help you form the routine of reading and listening. And they will almost certainly suggest things to pray about as you begin to reflect on God's world and God's word. And actually, most Bible notes will have a hint for something you should be doing at the end. So devote yourselves, but devote yourselves to prayer. Now, note, Paul doesn't say constantly use clever phrases and spiritual sounding language. Indeed, Jesus suggests that this kind of thoughtless, copied, clever prayers and chattering prayers can hinder our relationship with the Lord. That's what he says, for what it's worth, when he's asked about what it is to pray. And then Jesus goes on, Matthew 6, verses 5 to 8, he's saying that. He says, "This is how you should pray," and shares what we call the Lord's Prayer, which might really better be described as the disciples' prayer. Most versions of the Lord's Prayer are between 50 and 60 words. You know, that's quite brief. Most of us can manage that. That's two or three sentences. How about praying the Lord's Prayer at least once each day if you want a pattern of prayer to get into? Many of us committed some years ago now to do that each day at midnight, and I'm commonly with other people when I hear several phone or watch alarms go, and then off we all go into the Lord's Prayer. Why not try it? Or why not pray the Lord's Prayer each time you need to wash your hands in the current situation? It's about the length of time you need to wash your hands for. Just imagine how often that wonderful prayer would get prayed then. Getting into the routine of praying is about developing a pattern and a discipline. Devote yourselves to prayer, says Paul. And it's really important to find a way to keep doing that. The Christian minister and leader amongst and pastor who got himself into some significant issues during the Second World War in Germany, Dietrich Bonhoeffer, had a phrase for us when he said, "A day without morning and evening prayers and personal intercessions is actually a day without meaning or importance." That's a pretty powerful statement about prayer, isn't it? Reminds us that it's at the heart of making and managing our Christian life. A day without morning and evening prayers and personal intercession is a day without meaning. Paul's comment is, devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful. You see, being watchful is about developing a discipline, beginning to work. Really practical stuff. Find yourself a chair that's the right place to sit. It might not be the place that you're using. Various Bible translations translate the word that Paul uses for being watchful as being alert, being vigilant, or being awake. And there's the first tip. You need to be awake to pray, all right? The writer of Proverbs talks about watching and waiting at God's door and finding life. I love that idea. That suggests knowing that prayer is how we connect our relationship with God. You remember Jesus tells that parable about the person knocking on the door at midnight. The way we connect ourselves with God and our relationship with his world. It includes setting time to talk and listen to God. That doesn't have to be clever and fancy, or just those minutes that you can find for you. And those are really good for you. And we're all learning that in this shut up time, particularly if you're with other people shut up, that you need to find your you time. Well, your you and God time is at least as important to your well-being. It's the way in which we talk to God and that we include setting the time to talk, listen to God, being informed about family, friends and the world around us, talking to God about what is on our heart and our mind, and not being afraid to ask for guidance and for the needs of society and our own needs too. In words that echo Proverbs 8, Jesus tells us, ask and it will be given to you, seek and you will find, knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and the one who knocks, the door will be opened. Other leaders in amongst God's people over the centuries have reminded us of the importance of spending our time with God in prayer in order to make sure our lives work well. The great reformer Martin Luther had this to say. He said, if I fail to spend 2 hours in prayer each morning, the devil gets the victory through the day. I have so much busyness, I cannot get on without spending 3 hours daily in prayer. So if any of us think we're busy, I'll tell you that. I get up every morning and think, I'm glad I'm not as busy as Martin Luther was. And John Wesley said something similar but different, and they become confused sometimes when they're reported, but it was definitely Luther who said that we just had. So actually, if we think we're busy, we need the relationship with God in order to make sense of everything. Devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful, says Paul. Now, here's the final thing to make praying daily make sense and seem less of a chore. Give thanks for what is good. All of us have things to be thankful for. We had a conversation here this morning, both in the virtual vestry and online, about the beauty of today. There's a bit of blue sky today. There could be a long winter still to come. But nonetheless, today is a day for being thankful for the bright sunlight. I have a friend who claims that after waking up each morning, they pray, "Thank you, Lord, at least I'm alive." Well, you might choose purposely to give thanks before or after at least one meal per day. Or unless you're a much more holy person than me, you will know that you need to be thankful that God shows forgiveness for failure and actions and attitude. In other words, I know I need to ask God's forgiveness for sin and can be thankful for that every day. More important even than the habit is the attitude of prayer. The more we recognise our need of God's grace and forgiveness, his healing and strength, the more likely we are to be thankful in a time of renewed restriction and of risk in the face of an indiscriminate virus. The more we have reason to thank God for the gift of life and for those who seek to enrich and to safeguard it. Have you been watching those scenes on the news about people who have expressed their thanks for being early in the queue for the vaccination against coronavirus? I heard this morning the actor Brian Blessed using his usual enormous voice to give thanks for that. I always felt that Brian would have a natural immunity because no one could get within 6 feet or 2 meters of him because he'd be speaking so loud. Anyway, there are always things to be thankful for. And I invite you to renew your Christian discipleship in these coming weeks as this first point in the Methodist way of life to begin with a fresh resolve to devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful each day. And there is a way of founding and resourcing your relationship with God.